Let us pray. Guide us, O God, by your word and spirit, that in your light we may see light, and in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover your love. Through Jesus Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. Our scripture this morning comes from Matthew, the first chapter, the 18th through the 25th verses. Hear now the word of God. This is how the birth of Jesus came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because she is conceived in her from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. Well, today is the Sunday of love. We started out with hope four weeks ago, moved to peace, joy, now love, and tonight we'll light the Christ candle in the center of our wreath, and we'll proclaim the birth of Christ. Today's story that we read today is from Matthew. That's where this Matthew's version of the birth of Jesus. Tonight, we will read the version from Luke. There are two different versions. Matthew's version tells it from the perspective of Joseph, and tonight's version will tell it from the perspective of Mary. Two different things. Mary's has got heavenly hosts. There's joy. There's all kinds of things in the tonight. Today, kind of somber, isn't it? We have this thing going on. We hear the story of Joseph and what he was dealing with. He is betrothed to be married to Mary. It's not quite like it is today. They have several processes and several stages of engagement. Where Mary and Joseph were at this time, they were not yet married, but if they wanted to break it off, they would have to get a divorce. They're just about there. And what I know from marriages and weddings and all that sort of thing, there's a lot of stuff that can go wrong between "will you," and she said yes, and all the way down to they say, "I will." Amen? They really can. I've experienced a fair amount of things. I had a wedding be called off in the middle of the night. It was about, I think, at the latest 4 o'clock. It could have been 3 o'clock. It was a bachelorette party that went south. The bridesmaids wanted to make it perfect for the bride. Everything, you know, has got to be perfect. So they invited all the bridesmaids and a few more. The groom's sister was going to be one of the bridesmaids, so they reluctantly invited her, even though she had a 5-week-old baby. And since she couldn't be away from her baby for a weekend, the bride's future mother-in-law went along too, to stay in a room, away from them, just caring for the baby, except when the mother was needed. And then in the middle of the night, the bride said something about the groom's sister, which led to something else being said, and before you knew it, it was called off. Bachelorette party. It didn't make it. We didn't make it through the counseling sessions. I heard of a wedding where the preacher reached for the, ring from the best man. He dropped it, and it rolled and went down an air conditioning duct. I tell these brides in the middle of in premarital counseling, something's going to go wrong. Something's going to go wrong. There's going to be a mess up somewhere. I don't know who it's going to be. It might be you. It might be your groom. It might be me. It might be your bridesmaids and your ushers. You have not trained them well enough. You didn't pick them well enough. And you get what you pick. Some don't understand the meaning of you cannot drink in the church. Some don't understand that at all. They don't understand what 30 minutes before the wedding means, or an hour before the wedding means. Something's going to happen. It truly is. And something happened for Joseph. How do you respond when we are surprised? I have been surprised so many times in my life, I say now, nothing surprises me. The only thing that surprises me now is when I'm surprised. It's the terrible thing. So many bad things can happen and interrupt what we have planned that I have been surprised so many times. And Joseph is surprised. And how do we deal with it? How do we deal with it when somebody interrupts what we think needs to be going on? There are times that I don't respond well. How about you? Sometimes it, just like that, I can turn into this from a mild-mannered, loving human being that you all know me to be, into something else. Usually I'm driving when it happens. But our scripture says that Joseph was different than me. Not you. It said Joseph was a righteous man. Righteous meant that he sought to be obedient to God. He sought to be obedient. And so he was. He was obedient. Many times in my life, I don't stop long enough to ponder how I should respond. Do you? At every moment. But he was righteous enough to know that he needed to ponder. He needed to meditate. He needed to seek what God would have him to do. And after he sought out, and his best idea to that point was he chose to divorce her quietly as to not bring shame to her. And then he slept on it. The only two things that you can really find that a comparison, it brings two things together in the Luke version of Jesus' birth and the Matthew version of Jesus' birth, is that for Mary, Gabriel appears to her at night, and the angel of the Lord appears to Matthew, but they say the same thing. Fear not. The common thread is fear not. And Joseph apparently feared not. And he chose to do what the angel of the Lord told him to do. And it changed everything. It truly did. How often do we allow the Holy Spirit to guide our decisions when we're surprised, hurt, disappointed, as Joseph would have been? So often, not so much. And then one of the things I find is interesting is in the way we relate to others, so often we are more apt to give them a piece of our mind in consternation, indignation, or condemnation rather than the love of Christ first. How often do we meet the world that way? Joseph allowed God to speak to him, and Joseph did not listen to the prince of darkness. He listened to the father of the prince of peace. Because more times than not, when we react quickly, we're all about what the devil's about. Who wants to steal, rob, kill, all of that. wipe out any chance of doing anything righteous. How do we respond? You see, these two stories of Jesus' birth are not isolated to Joseph and to Mary. It's about Israel, isn't it? It's about the people of Israel who were chosen. In Genesis 12, we read about the call of Abram from the Ur of the Chaldees, and he was blessed. He was chosen. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm going to be chosen, I want to be chosen for something good, don't you? I want to be chosen and there be something tangible. I want it to be, if I'm going to be chosen, I want to be connected with the Powerball. I want to be really blessed, you know? But that's not what the children of Israel were chosen for. They were blessed to be a blessing to the world. And just as Abraham was called, we have been engrafted into the people of God, and that's why we have been chosen to be a blessing to the world, to be the bearers of the light of Christ and the love of Christ into a world that's dark. And it's a love, it's more than we can imagine. It's more than we can see in the world. The reason it's so bright and people can see it when they see it is because it's so different than anything you can ever imagine. The way we're taught, the way we are that kind of example, because we're not. In the Sermon on the Mount, this is what it says. You've heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn your left cheek to them. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, give them your coat. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile with them, go 2. Give to one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You've heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. That's what we do, isn't it? Isn't that what we do? I mean, I know that's not what you've heard, but that's what we do. That's what I do. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain to the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. That's a different kind of love, isn't it? N.T. Wright, in his book, Advent for Everyone, he tells a story about a young father. He has 3 or 4 kids. The oldest is 9. I'm going to call his oldest son, who is 9, Junior. Best name I could come up with on a short notice. But he was going away for 3 or 4 days, and he knew that his wife had a lot to do, and so he was going to try to rely on his son, the oldest son, to kind of help out. So he goes to Junior and he says, Junior, I'm going away for 3 or 4 days and I need you to help out. Do the things that I do normally to help your mother out. You understand? Yes, sir. Now he was thinking that Junior would help with setting the table, maybe bringing the dishes to the dining room table or the breakfast room, wherever they were eating, to help clean up afterwards, get things back to the kitchen, maybe help wash dishes, dry dishes or something like that, maybe take out the trash, that kind of thing. That's what Dad was hoping. But when he gets back, he asked his wife, said, how did Junior do? Well, he acted strange. Immediately after breakfast, he poured himself another cup of coffee and went into the den and turned on the stereo and read the paper for 30 minutes. And then the dad just realized that maybe his son took it too literally. You see, sometimes when we start talking about how we're supposed to do things, what we do is not what we're supposed to do. We really don't. See, here's the real puzzle. Israel, the chosen people, are challenged to realize God doesn't have favorites. He doesn't. Israel is chosen to be the light of the world, the salt of the earth. And that's hard. God wants us to do things we don't want to do. Y'all have heard this over the last several years, and I've mentioned this, my mantra. This is what I live by. Sometimes I try to, rather. I really truly believe that everybody needs to know three things. Do y'all know what they are? You are loved, you matter, and you're not alone. Has anybody not heard that come out of my mouth in the last 3 years? Everybody needs to know that. I think I do that pretty well with people I love. Don't ask June, though. I try to do that. I want everybody to know that you are loved, you matter, and you're not alone. Because all of you need to know that. About 4 weeks ago, the Holy Spirit convicted me. Because I love telling all of you that you're loved, you matter, and you're not alone. And I want you all to experience that. If nobody else does it for you, I want to do it for you. Right? But I was having a meeting with somebody I don't like. And the Holy Spirit told me, this person who I'm having lunch with that you don't like, who's done stupid things in his life or their life, they have done enough stupid things that I know you really don't care for them. But the Holy Spirit told me, even the people we don't like need to know they are loved, they matter, and they're not alone. Because that's the way Jesus loves. He's loved you and me. And we've done just as stupid of things as that person has done. And he loved us enough to die for us. Right? We all have done stupid things. We've made dumb mistakes. We've done things to people we should not have done. And just as we have experienced God's love, we know that we matter. And we know that the Holy Spirit and Christ are always with us in that promise. And lo, I am with you always. I will not leave you as orphans. They need to know it too. And about all I could think of was, I wish Jesus would mind his own business. I'd really like to feel comfortable for a little bit that I'm okay. But okay is not good enough. Because we got to do what Christ asked us to do. And don't do as society does. Hating our enemies. Because if we're going to be light in the darkness, where people can see who we are, even in the light, we've got to do things that people, normal people, don't do. We've got to do exceptional things. And that means loving people who are not lovable. Because that's who Jesus came to save. And I am so glad he came to save me and you and everyone else. Amen? Praise God for Jesus, the light of the world, the Prince of Peace, the great I Am. Let us pray. Lord God, forgive us when we love only the people we want to love. Lord, forgive us when we let people see how angry we are with them and how despicable they are before they know that we love them. Forgive us when we make people feel worthless and not the valuable treasure you believe them to be and know them to be. May we be changed this Christmas because you, the light of the world, are being spread by us, those you came to save and have saved. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.